Polar bears are one of the species that's been hardest hit by climate change, but scientists have long thought that bears might be able to adapt somewhat by effectively hibernating in summer, saving energy during an extended open water season. But new research from the University of Wyoming disproves that hypothesis. Marev Ben-David is a professor of wildlife ecology and one of the authors of the new study. She told Wyoming Public Radio's Stephanie Joyce that without hibernation, it's an increasingly long and hungry summer for the bears.
Polar bears do most of their feeding in spring, where they hunt seals and seal pups off the surface of the ice. And during spring, they accumulate a lot of resources, fat and protein nutrients that they store in preparation for the summer fast period. When the ice melts and pulls away from the shore, feeding opportunities for polar bears are diminished. They don't get seals. Basically, they go into a fast, and the question we had was, can they adopt special physiological mechanisms that allow them to extend this fast for a longer period now that the summer ice melt period is increasing in length?
Historically, how long would the bears have fasted versus now?
In the Beaufort Sea in the early 2000s, my colleagues estimated that they had to fast for about 100 days. And now it's longer, upwards of 140 days.
And those extra 40 days, how do those affect the bear's survival?
By going into this elongated fast or lengthened fast with fewer resources from spring, the bears enter the winter season in poor body condition. And in the same population we've conducted this study, our colleagues from the USGS recently documented severe population declines and especially in cub survival. Cub survival was especially low.
So you found that polar bears can't hibernate in the summer. Did you find anything else?
Yes. Yeah, so we obviously collected a lot of data, but related to this paper, the most surprising result was actually the declines in body temperature that were that occurred very fast and were to temperatures that were certainly very low for a large mammal like a polar bear. Some bears had body temperatures down to 22 degrees and dropped there within 12 hours. And we realized that they were happening when the bears were swimming in cold waters for an extended period of time. Marine mammals, whales, dolphins, seals, have blubber, which is an excellent insulator. Polar bears do not have that. They have fat, but it's not as good as blubber. So the bears had no insulation to protect their core from cold temperatures. So basically what we found is that the bears shunt blood away from the exterior of the core and create an insulating shell from their own tissues. And so they reduce the gradient between the skin temperature and the water temperature. And that minimizes heat loss while swimming. And that is a really unique adaptation. It hasn't been shown in other mammals. The only other organism we know that does similar things is king penguins.
I'm a little surprised, you know, some of this seems like information that we would maybe already have. Do polar bears hibernate in summer? How do polar bears withstand swimming through cold water without blubber? I mean, those seem like fairly basic questions. Why is it so hard to answer them?
It's really difficult to conduct such research on large mammals, whether they live in Wyoming or they live in the Arctic. Research on large mammals is always difficult. And so in a way, it is surprising that we didn't know all this already, but you'll be surprised how many things we don't know.
So now we know polar bears can't hibernate and that the summer melt season is getting longer. I guess, what is there to be done about it?
The only way we can, in general, ensure that polar bears don't experience severe population declines in much of the range would be to reverse the trend of sea ice loss. Because we know that sea ice loss is tightly linked to climate change, the Arctic has warmed much faster than the rest of our globe. What we need to do is ensure that warming of the Arctic is reversed.
And if we don't, what happens long term to these bears?
The Arctic is a very large area with a lot of variability in the extent of the continental shelf, the dynamics of the currents and the winds. So not all areas in the Arctic are the same. So we still have many populations that are stable. But you can imagine that in the long run, if we have an Arctic that is ice-free, those specialists, ice specialists, will not be able to persist.
Given the future projections for greenhouse gas emissions, sea ice loss, things like that, does it feel like you're, in addition to studying, documenting a species that we may not have the chance to study in the future?
Yes, in a way. My colleague, Steve Amstrup, who was the lead scientist for the USGS until he retired, and now works, he's a chief scientist for Polar Bear International, said several years ago that he feels that we may become, from polar bear researchers, we may become polar bear historians. And that really made me think very hard about how much everything we learn about them is important, but also how much we need to do to make sure that doesn't happen.
Thank you very much for speaking with me. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.